Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and welcome to episode number 19 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, the podcast designed to help smart business owners with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. Now, on today's podcast, our guest is John Bellamy, who's one of the founding partners of the Heart-Centered Moneymakers. John's an absolute dynamo, as we're going to see on the interview. He's an entrepreneur with a passion for helping other business owners get crystal clear about their vision, their purpose, their strengths, and the greatest contributions that they can make to their clients. We talk today a lot about making a difference in the world, about leaving a legacy, and there's a very long discussion about work-life balance, which is really interesting. John even shares his plan for establishing an office on the moon. That's right, on the moon. You'll have to listen to the interview to find out more about that one. The podcast today, as always, is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart, innovative business owners save time and money and grow their business by making their websites achieve more. Now, of course, at InnovaBiz, we do a lot more than just build websites. We provide solutions to client needs and problems by leveraging the power of the internet in innovative ways. If you want to find out more, then visit our website at innovabiz.com.au. Or if you're ready to see how our magic can help you, then come and apply for one of our website accelerator sessions at innovabiz.com.au/WAC. Now, before we meet John, a quick competition announcement. This week's prize is actually an awesome prize. It's a personal consultation with John himself on Skype to help you get really clear on your vision and to identify any roadblocks that might be stopping you and help you with developing plans to remove those roadblocks. So stick around for details on how you can enter the draw to win that prize later on in the interview. Now, without further ado, let's get into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from John Bellamy.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really pleased to have here with me today on the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Brisbane, up in the north of Australia, John Bellamy. John is an expert on converting your online presence, particularly on LinkedIn, I believe, to sales, and runs a whole range of coaching, helping entrepreneurs and particularly innovative entrepreneurs turn their online presence into sales in a very big way. So welcome to the podcast, John.
Thank you very much, Jürgen. Thanks for having me.
It was Mandy Brasser who suggested we have you on the podcast, so you're here courtesy of Mandy.
Mandy is an absolute gem in the community out there. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah. And we had her podcast published last week, so that's a really good episode there. Now, before we hear more about John's story, just like to announce today's competition. And John's very kindly offered to donate a coaching session with him on Skype to help identify roadblocks in your business in taking the next steps of your vision. So, you know, usually most of our audience have pretty ambitious growth visions, but often, I know from my own experience, you run into roadblocks, and John has offered to kind of have a coaching session with you to identify those roadblocks and help you put some action plans into place to overcome those. And so stay tuned later on in the interview and you can find out how you can enter the draw to win that prize. And thanks, John, for making that available.
You're most welcome.
Yeah. Now, before we learn about your background and what you do today, tell us a little bit about your journey. So if we look back right back to your childhood, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, wow. The whole what did I want to be when I grew up takes me back. Ever since a young age, I actually had always wanted to be in the police or the defence force.
Okay.
I know my parents they were happy from a decision point of view, but they were like, surely you can, you know, is that really what you want to be doing? I've always wanted to do that. And, you know, lo and behold, I found out I was colorblind at an early age, and that definitely put the handbrakes on a lot of that. And I remember going through school, and although I was, you know, I was a good student in my opinion. I remember getting my marks at the end of grade 12, and from what the teachers had, you know, foretold, you definitely wouldn't see them from a psychic point of view, because the results from the OP scores here in Queensland were completely different. And that sort of threw me right off the ball. As far as, you know, and I think this is the challenge that many young entrepreneurs face, and aspiring entrepreneurs, is like, oh, you know, my life has now changed. What am I actually going to be getting? Yeah, so that was me. I mean, I was a professional musician school, and
what did you play?
Played the bagpipes, so we'll keep that one on the down low.
And, bagpipes, there we go. That's unusual. I think I don't believe I've ever had a bagpipe player on my podcast.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was great. It paid the bills. I used to go and play at like 15 minutes before an auction, as an example, and a real estate agent would pay you a couple of $100 just to march up and down the street to get more traffic to an auction. Yeah.
Great marketing.
Yeah, so it's never been shy from that aspect, and that sort of led me to on a great journey to where myself now, my business partner Roscoe, have our company Heart Centered Moneymakers. And you know, it's both of us have come through that journey of uncertainty, if you like, and really trying a lot of different modalities and different employment opportunities and businesses. On just really to work out what that fit was. And when I look back at it for me personally, when I really, you know, take an in-depth and look inside myself, and I go, well, you know, over the years I've been fighting what's actually come out, and what's actually come out to be a great business and a growing business now. You know, and I look at one of the first jobs that I finished at school, where literally the day after school, I started knocking on doors and selling Optus mobile phones to while everyone else was getting drunk at schoolies, I was there selling and serving customers. So yeah, it's been a great journey.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. A lot of interesting stuff in there. So I noted that you're colorblind, and I don't know if you heard our interview with Miguel Nieva a few episodes back. So he's a Portuguese entrepreneur that developed a code system where colorblind people can actually recognize colors.
Okay.
And it's quite fascinating. So you might want to have a look at that if you haven't seen it already.
I tell you what, it makes it, being colorblind makes it entertaining with your five-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. When she wants to do some coloring in lessons, and she's like, Dad, that's not green, that's brown. And yeah, so it's all great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And so how long have you been in business then?
Yeah, so essentially I've been working for myself in consultancy since 1999. Mm-hmm. In, you know, as I suppose the typical entrepreneur journey, most entrepreneurs start out being employed and then have their part-time business going in the background. And that was no different to myself. And throughout that time had a few different businesses, you know, and ranging results from, you know, spectacular through to absolutely ordinary. Mm. And just really found my way through actually doing and implementing and really, you know, seeing what works and trying different things on and really being a crash test dummy in that regard. And myself and Roscoe, my business partner, we met a few years back now, around about 5 years ago, at a couple of professional and personal development events out in the marketplace, and stayed in contact. And it's been around almost 2 years now that we joined forces, and you know, I bought into the business and brought what I had from a consultancy business, and Roscoe brought what he had, and then, you know, we've really taken out that the approach of really servicing those conscious entrepreneurs. And you know, those heart-centered entrepreneurs who really want to build a lifestyle business.
Yeah, and the focus is very much on being of service, which resonates with our audience.
Yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah, our whole thing is helping people with, you know, a lot of what we do is helping people with the dumb and boring, and and it's those little tedious tasks like putting a marketing funnel together. you know, really getting clear, you know, picking up the phone and having a casual conversation and turning that into cash. All of those dumb and boring things that most entrepreneurs don't want to touch, we don't want to know about. But they're those one percenters that actually enable you to go and reach, you know, the 100% of your audience and enable you to actually turn that vision, you know, into a reality and then ultimately into a legacy once you've left the planet.
Yeah, good stuff. So when did you discover the internet and start using that as one of the key tools to leverage the marketing funnel?
Yeah, sure. The internet for me, when I look at the internet, for me, when I first really started to leverage it, was when I was essentially doing my internship in business, if you like, with a company called Salmat, S-A-L-M-A-T, which is, you know, one of Australasia's largest direct marketing companies. And at that time, and how LinkedIn came to it, and I was one of the agency representatives, so just walked around and spoke with all the advertising agencies, and I was connecting with all of these different types of professionals, be it the agency execs, be it, you know, the end user clients. And I was like most business, you know, you're networking and you've got this stack of business cards that just continues to grow. And it was like, what do we actually do with this stuff? And, you know, we had platforms back in the day like Goldmine and Salesforce and all of those. But what I found was, you know, how is that, you know, and if I choose to back in the day, if I choose to leave this organization, how am I going to continue to build my professional connections in a way that not to, you know, take customers from Salmat or anything like that, because I'd never do that, but really to continue to develop and grow and educate and communicate with these people over the time. And lo and behold, I received this connection request saying you should jump on this platform called LinkedIn. And I opened it up and I went, oh, this looks like a really, you know, pretty sexy Excel spreadsheet that can house some data. So literally I sat down, I created my profile and I started sending connection requests to all of these people that I'd met over the last 18 months to 2 years and that I had all these business cards with, and went, fantastic. Now I've got my own personal, you know, contact management platform that as long as LinkedIn doesn't shut down, you know, I've got this for life and it's my own IP. So that was when the big distinction and the curiosity, I suppose, from my end was really sparked, going, you know, how can we, you know, this internet's so brand new, you know, and there's so much information and where do we steer? And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to start learning this little platform. And, you know, it's just grown from there.
Okay, yeah. And so with what you do today and together with your business partner, what if somebody meets you for the first time at, say, a networking event, how do you describe what you do in kind of a short sentence if they say, you know, John, what do you do?
Sure. It's a great question. Ultimately, we help heart-centered entrepreneurs to develop a lifestyle business that enables them to really fulfill their legacy. And the key on that phrase that we ask, that they go, so tell me, what does that mean? And you know, we're marketers from a heart point of view, and from a true sense of the word, we just purely want to spark curiosity. And when we start to work with people, like I mentioned before, it's really helping them to conceptualize that vision that they actually have, really help them dream up and ultimately look at the legacy that they want to be leaving behind. And from that aspect, it's then the fundamentals come in behind where we help them, you know, to create, market, and then go and serve that audience in whatever it is that they're doing. Primarily their coaches and consultants. It's funny the range of clients that we work with, from like the intuitive healer right through to the high-end leadership consultant who's been, you know, working all over the globe and just really helping them to break it right down and productize and servitize their business into finite streams that can be automated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I really like that on a lot of levels. It's kind of very succinct, and it's very, you talk about the heart, entrepreneurs with heart, and it kind of engenders that curiosity straight away. So like you say, immediately, what does that mean? Is the follow-up, which then gives you the ability to explain in more detail.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at various other podcasts and reading a lot of books and stuff recently, and looking at changing, business model for our own company as well, in terms of, taking services and making them more into products. And as I do that, and with all the reading, it sort of dawns on me really that basically everybody in business is not just a publisher, but also a coach in some respect. So that opens up a pretty big market for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel this is, this is where the world's going, and there's 7 billion plus of us now on the planet. And, as they say, there's about another 2.5 billion people coming online over the next little while from an internet perspective. And they're all hungry for information, and now more than ever, in our opinion, now more than ever, has it been so true for you to actually get the results that you want out of life and out of business, and most importantly, the people that you want to go and share that with and work with. Mm. Now more than ever, is it super important for every single one, aspiring entrepreneur out there to actually hone in on a niche.
Mm.
And I don't know what your thoughts are that on, Jürgen, but what we typically find out there is, a lot of the people that we speak to through speaking engagements, etc., they're absolutely petrified of honing in and saying, I work with accountants, or, I work with plumbers, and whatever they help them get. But it's, gone are the days of I help everybody get.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jack of all trades and master of none.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree with you. That's a really key point. And when we build websites, one of the things I start with right at the beginning is that, well, who's your audience? Who are we talking to on the website? Because that's really important to the website success. And it's counterintuitive. Most people think, if I narrow down on this niche, I'm losing all these other opportunities.
And yeah.
I try to explain to them, well, no, you're not. You're kind of talking to that one audience, and they're going to identify with you really well, and you're going to maximize your chances of getting business from that audience because they can see how you can help them. But at the same time, you're not saying that you're not going to take other people. So, like the example I mentioned earlier, everybody really is a coach. So you're not saying you're not going to take an internet company, for example, because they want to learn more about coaching, but you're saying that, your specialty is coaching. That's what you're focusing on. That's where you spend all your energy building your expertise and knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me personally, I just like what really makes my heart sing in that way is, seeing somebody actually get laser focused and go and just be so laser focused on serving one market and putting their marketing strategy, having those sales conversations with people and helping people to buy, not shoving product down their throat.
Hmm.
And for them, getting their first sale across the line, which might only be a couple of $100.
Yeah.
But for me, when they do that and, they often reach out and they go, oh my God, John, I just got my first sale. It was $297 as an example. But it for them, it's that self-proof. Like they actually prove it to themselves. Mm. And if they go about that doing it, every single day, just out there from a serving mentality of, who am I going to serve next from a customer point of view? Who am I going to reach out to? Is it on stage? Is it online? Is it face to face? Are we using platforms like Skype? And just having, having that influence on a consistent basis. To me, that's the thing that I love seeing, because it shows that they're standing up for what they believe in. And most importantly, they're standing behind their own actions and their words and the change that they want to make in the world, and actually going out there and implementing. They're taking the actions, they're getting inspired, and they're taking daily actions, opposed to just talking about stuff and not implementing. So, yeah.
Yeah, And some of that is the entrepreneur with heart, isn't it? It's the passion to actually let that show and take the action and take some risks.
So. Yeah, and they need to be, you know, like to be proud of it.
Mm.
To be proud of the you know, the change that they're actually implementing. And you know, and it's okay, like we're talking about all the rosy stuff right now, and it's okay, like, you know, you're going to offend people. Your marketing, your message is going to offend people, and that's okay. They're just not a fit right now.
Mm.
And to not allow, you know, other people's perceptions or you know, competitors' perceptions, which is, in, you know, it's the, we don't have competition. We may have similar people working in the same space, but we don't have competition because at the end of the day, whether we're selling a product or a service, people still buy from people.
Hmm.
They buy from that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really important point. And I think, yeah. You know, it's a point that sometimes these days with technology gets a little bit buried or lost. People look at the tools. It's like, you know, the other example that I'm always confronted with is, and it relates a little bit to this, is, you know, people ask me, how do I get my website ranked on number one on Google? You know, it's a big thing. And I say, well, what do you want to be ranked for, and why do you want to be ranked there? Is, you know, a couple of questions to consider first, because it's nice to be ranked number one and then say, oh, I'm number one, and pat yourself on the back. But you've got to have some sort of outcome from that. And then the second thing, you know, they often say, what's a trick I can use? And I say, well, really, there's no trick, because it's all about building relationships and providing information to your audience. And you know, if you do that, then the search engines, Google, for example, because what's Google about? They're just about delivering the best answer to a search that a user puts in there. And so if your answer is the best answer, that's your job. Make that the best answer. So.
Where's my magic pill, Jürgen? Where's my magic pill?
Yes.
It cracks me up, you know, and at the same time, I totally get it, because I'm human as well and I want a magic pill.
You know, shortcuts are always good, but sometimes they only last for a short while.
The magic pill is waking up every morning, getting inspired and taking action to go and serve your market that day. And just doing it every single day for the rest of time. That's the magic pill.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's a golden piece of advice for everyone. So what do you do on a day-to-day basis then within the business? How do you sort of split the task between you and Roscoe?
Yeah, sure. So we've got 10, 11 of us now, I believe, on the team.
Okay.
And so my role personally is more involved in the chief revenue, so bringing in revenue and income streams and all of those types of things. So personally, I'm a creator in the Talent Dynamics or Wealth Dynamics profiles. So don't get me a job to complete it. Just let me come up with it and support me to have that implemented. So personally, if I'm either out there speaking or having conversations that get us more speaking engagements, doing interviews like this on podcasts, you know, creating content or for our membership for our mentorship clients, coaching, or just having 15-minute calls. It's all revolved in around bringing in new business and really leveraging our reach from our message point of view. So that's what I'm in charge of. Roscoe plays the role of the CEO, so he's involved in the staff management, setting the vision and really ensuring that the business operation is humming along and heading in the direction that we need to, as well as, you know, we both coach together or individually with our clients and speaking on stages and running our own trainings, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I'm very, very thankful that we've got an amazing team behind us who really love what they do, and they all bring their own unique gifts and skill sets to the business. And we're all about, you know, surrounding ourselves with specialists who we can bring on, you know, at different capacities from times and hours, but bring them on into the business where they actually get excited to go and work in their true genius. You know, whether that be animating videos or, you know, sending connection requests on LinkedIn, as an example. You know, we've got different skills for different roles in the business.
So I've
got a background in recruitment as well, and learning from, I suppose, those lessons in the past of getting one person to do the jack of all trades it's not nowhere near as effective, nowhere near as efficient. And quite frankly, when you look at it purely from the eyes of a business perspective, it's a terrible return on investment. If you've got somebody trying to do everything. Whereas if you shape your business and create your business in a way that you can empower people to do, like what I said, to do what they actually love, they enjoy coming to work and they're inspired daily. And the team dynamics is amazing from that aspect.
Yeah, I was reading a fascinating post earlier this week from, I can't recall his name, but he's one of the founders of WP Engine, one of the big managed hosting companies for WordPress. And he was taking the line of, you should be hiring people that are better than yourself. You should always, and then their job is to hire people that are better than them, so that you've always, you're always upskilling. But and he's talking about exactly what you're saying, hiring specialists and passionate about one area, but really upskilling the organization. And so he said it's not just about, delegating, it's about actually improving the skill and making yourself redundant, essentially.
Yeah, ultimately. I remember it was a few years back now, Richard Branson was out here in Brisbane for the Asia Pacific City Summit, I believe it was. And he had the question posed to him, how do you believe the world's leaders could reduce the unemployment rate across the globe? And his viewpoint on it was like, companies nowadays and moving into the future need to be open and need to be open to having flexible staffing relationships. And that's like, he goes, take for example, the mum who's got the couple of kids at home, and she wants to work, and she's got some great skills and initiatives and ideas to bring to the table, and she wants to work within a container that suits her. So how can we as business owners and leaders really look at those talents and those skill sets and bring them in? And even though they may only be working in the business for 10 hours, how can we, 10 hours a week, how can we ensure that the work that they're doing is not only inspiring for them, it's not only, helping us as a business get what we want, but ultimately it's providing a win for our client.
Yeah.
That's the approach that that we've harnessed here at Hudson & Moneymakers, is really looking at the strengths and the capabilities and looking for ways to bring people onto the team that's going to work for everybody involved.
Yeah. That's really excellent advice, and it kind of reminds me a little bit, thinking back into my corporate life years ago, I guess, back in the early 1990s, some of the big corporations started talking about the triple bottom line, which is essentially that kind of thing, talking about the win-win-win in terms of employees, the company, and its customers.
Yeah.
As well, and the community was in there somewhere as well, but it kind of, as so many things in big corporations, it kind of went into the bottomless pit of catchphrases.
Yeah. We're going to do this.
Yeah. So, what is there? Something that you worry about? Is there something that keeps you awake at night, apart from your kids, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. The thing for me is, and what really breaks my heart the most is like, if I wake up and I'm all about, how much influence of, like, from this is internal perspective, how much influence have I had? Have I given enough? Have I, essentially has the message that myself and Roscoe have been creating through Hudson & Moneymakers, has that hit enough people? Have we served enough people? They're the personal things that continues to drive me and wakes me up in the middle of the night. On top of that, so that's very, egotistical, am I achieving all of this greatness in the world? And at the same time, it's because I actually care. I do deeply care. And it breaks my heart seeing, just people out there in the world who have got amazing gifts and talents, and because of their upbringing that they've had, or the environments that they surround themselves with right now, or, a learning difficulty, or, just the rubbish that their friends and family put on them constantly, they don't back themselves, and they don't allow themselves to, you know, to stand up and say, you know what, this is my life, I'm here, and I'm going to go and take control. And you know what, I'm probably going to fail, and I'm probably going to make heaps of mistakes along the way, and you know, I may lose everything, but you know, I've got to give it a crack, and I've got to go and give it a go.
Yeah.
And you know, it's something that breaks my heart when people don't back themselves to go and do that. Because it's sort of like, well, why are you here then? You know,
It is sad sometimes when you see people kind of take a really safe path or not even take a path at all. What's even worse.
You know, and it's not, it doesn't need to be around, you know, going and starting their own business. Like personally, I believe, you know, going and starting your own business or buying a business and being in that business ownership, you know, ultimately, personally, I believe that's the way to go. That's my personal opinion. And in saying that, you know, my partner as an example, like for her, if she could just be an amazing employee and go and help people, you know, by helping them get what they want, nothing would give her greater satisfaction. And that's perfectly as well. It's great as well. It's like the mum who just wants to be an amazing mum. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's allowing, the challenge is they're allowing other people's opinions to essentially
influence them.
Steer their own destiny. And whereas it's who cares what other people think? Why is it your concern what other people think about you?
It's really about clarity about your own purpose and your own what you want to do with your life.
What
was it? I can't remember who said this, but it kind of flashes back in my mind quite often. It's to the point of, you know, what other people think about you is none of your business, I think. It's their problem, not yours.
Exactly. And you know, once again, we're all guilty of that, of allowing other people's, I know I am.
Yeah.
I care.
There's a little thing called ego, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it happens, and I feel the difference is, and once you truly believe that, like you never, I don't believe anyway, you're never not going to have that pop up in your life at some, you know, whether it's now or 10 years from now. We always care about what other people think, and what I can say now is that, yes, I still care what other people think. However, because I've done the work and I'm conscious of that now, I'm aware of that in my life cycle and in my sphere of influence. If I feel myself getting down or being steered in a different direction, I can now instantly sort of catch onto it and go, hold on a second, let's take the emotion out of it. And why is it my concern what they think? And really analyze that conversation or analyze the comment that they may have had. And it's like, okay, well, what's usefulness in their comment? You know, what can I actually take away from that? Maybe there actually is a nugget of gold in there that's going to help me innovate our business and you know, go and reach more people.
It's feedback, but it's that's how you should treat it. Now, you mentioned you had 11 employees now. So do you have an office in Brisbane, or are they working from home, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's so funny. So we're down the southern end of the Gold Coast, down at the Tweed area. And we actually literally just signed the lease yesterday on our premises. So we should be moving into that in the next week.
That's exciting.
So we've got 400 odd square meters, and we've just signed a 19-year lease, and it's going to be an event and co-working environment. We'll be able to fit 150 in theatre, I believe, and around about 70-80 in classroom style, which is great, because a lot of the trainings that we run are quite in the implementation. So it's like essentially bring your laptop and let's create a LinkedIn profile, or all of those types of things. So it's great. So everybody in the team, we have a mixture of local staff and the rest of our global team. You know, most people in our team right now either work from home, or if they're local staff, we will typically get together and you know, come and work from our apartment down here at Kira, where we are right now. But all that will change as of next week, with the kids coming through.
That's excellent. That's exciting. So yeah, I noticed you've got Serve 2015. So that's obviously a regular event you put together. So I imagine they'll be running in your new premises now.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the next Serve is in June the 19th through to the 21st of this year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that'll be the second event that we'll be holding at the new venue. Our first event is for our group mentoring clients, all around their sales conversations that they're having with their clients. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and we can talk a little bit about Serve 2015, if you like, in a moment. Unfortunately,
yeah,
in June, I'm going to be in San Francisco, so it's a little bit out of the way. So
stream it through for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I noticed I could buy a recording, so that's an option.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the biggest challenges in building this business, John?
For our business?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We won it all yesterday. That's the big challenge for us right now in growing the business is it's a reach game, and it's really like we've come through from the personal branding game, and now we're going into building the corporation side of things. So it's that transition now from essentially the Roscoe and John show, if you like, through to now really corporatizing the brand and the growth that comes from that. So most people on our database, as an example, or people that we meet, it's like, hey Roscoe, hey John. It's that very personal connection. So it's starting to grow the corporation and transitioning from a personal branding to a corporation and a corporate branding strategy without losing that personal connection.
Yeah, yeah.
The audience. That's for me, from a marketing point of view, and from going out there and speaking and being out on the front end, I know that's something that keeps me up at night, and I'm always constantly thinking about how can we ensure that as we grow and build this large heart-centered corporation to go and serve people across the globe, how can we do that in a way, in a leveraged way, so we're not working a billion hours a week. But ultimately, so we're really still connecting, connecting one-on-one with our end consumers and our clients, and really, really helping them, achieve greatness in their life, because that's ultimately the driver from our point of view.
Yeah, yeah. I was having a discussion this morning with my business coach, who's also a client and another client of mine, but we were looking at running some joint workshops, and it's all around that challenge of leverage. How do you take a business that is looking to grow, but leverage it in a way that it doesn't impact on their lifestyle? It's not going to mean the business owner's working 7 days a week, and it doesn't destroy their lifestyle and so on. So,
and it's quite funny if we can have a chat about that for a second, Jürgen. It's really an interesting dynamic. And we're speaking to hundreds, if not thousands, of people each month through various platforms. And the vast majority of people we speak with, if I ask them, so tell me what do you want your business to look like? I can pretty much guarantee the response will be, I want to be earning 200 to 250,000 a year, working 20 to 25 hours a week. Every single time. Without fail. And like, to be honest,
it must be some book or something that.
the challenge is, and I personally love Tim Ferriss, so this isn't any disrespect to him or anything like that. But they go and read books like The 4-Hour Workweek, and they go, "Oh, fantastic! I'll just do that." And what they don't understand is that the countless of hours and time and energy that Tim had invested
building that.
In building that, so we could build the systems, so we could actually have that lifestyle, and our response is, sure, we can build you that, but you've got to be willing to put the hard yards in. Are you willing to work 5 to 7 years in order to build the marketing, to build the team behind you, to increase your revenue, so that you can actually take out $200,000 to $250,000 a year personally? Because there's this delusion that if my business turns over 250 grand, I actually make
that's what I get.
Which is no. So, and it's funny, and it's funny in a way because, like, I sit there and I say funny, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody out there, but it's funny because I've gone through that personally myself. And I look back on that now and I go, oh, you were so naive.
Hmm.
And it's just purely because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And so many people feel that that's what business is. You know, I've been a great employee, so I'm going to start a business now. No. No, don't do that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And what did you know? I mean, I've been through the same cycle, and you know, yep. I read Tim Ferriss's book early on, but I guess in some ways, I saw the 4-hour work week title as a bit of a euphemism, as kind of okay, that's you know, it's all about systems and processes and delegating and building a structure and an environment where all these things can happen and start to be automated. But you know, the concept of okay, I'm going to work 4 hours and that's going to sustain my lifestyle, I think was probably more a euphemism or something that you know he used to capture attention.
Yeah, it was a great marketing piece. Like, don't get me wrong, the book is actually sound. The book is an amazing book.
Mm. It is, yeah.
And there is a lot to learn from that. Mm. And this would be my recommendation for people who are reading that book or who have got that ideal or want to build that business. Because is it possible? Absolutely, it's possible. Mm. You know, there's hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs around the world, if not millions, looking for that type of lifestyle and that business. So my recommendation would be, you know, and take it or leave it, you know, implement it or not, that's up to you. My recommendation would be, if you look at that 4-hour work week, instead of looking at all I'm going to do is work for 4 hours, maybe take the 4-hour component and go, all right, for 4 hours a week and chunk that up into sprints throughout the week, I'm going to work on building my business system.
Yeah.
You know, so for 4 hours every single week, I am dedicated to building a business system that's going to leverage me out of the business, that's going to employ more people in order to help me go and achieve what I want to achieve. And if that's getting out on all the stages across the world and speaking or, you know, traveling or just spending more time with the kids at home, you know, that's great. But allocate that time to building the systems and most importantly, sustainable systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like the Gerber philosophy, isn't it? Because you can be the greatest baker in the world or have the greatest, cake recipes, I think. You know, taking that to the next level, and becoming an entrepreneur and actually scaling that, you need those systems in place.
Yeah, and maybe perhaps like consider this for a moment as an idea is from an aspiring heart-centered entrepreneur point of view, whenever you're looking at creating a marketing strategy or writing a piece of copy or, you know, sending an email to gain a speaking engagement, you know, or crafting a direct mail piece or creating an event, like whatever it might be in your business, consider, you know, for a moment the possibilities that lie behind that of what task am I actually doing right now in business? Can I actually leverage this?
Mm.
And can I leverage this by creating a framework or a system that's going to enable me to get somebody else to do this job who's an absolute genius in that sometime down the track?
Yep.
And that's that type of thinking is what I personally believe, you know, Roscoe and myself have, we've really come from that standpoint ever since we've come together. Like, we did it differently in our own businesses, but ever since we came together and created this heart-centered moneymakers movement is really, you know, any type of task that we can do in our business.
Hmm.
Right, we're constantly going, is this something that we can systemize?
Hmm.
You know, is this something we can systemize? Is this something that we can create a framework behind and you know, have one of our team, you know, one of the global team to manage this for us? Or, you know, and it could be, you know, simple things from an email response.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean, I naturally tend towards that anyway because I always made lists. And part of that was, I guess I'm pretty forgetful because I'm a high-level thinker. I don't get into the details. So when I'm doing something, sort of going through the details, I need a list to work through. So I do, once I've done it once, if I haven't made a list at that time, next time I come back to it, I'll think, I've done this before, but damn, I still can't remember exactly how to do it. So I, you know, I'm disciplined. I'll always make a list. And those lists form the basis for the process for doing that. So even really little simple things like sending out an email and following up on an email and so on, I'll have lists for that. And I, you know, give that to my team and I say, now, you know, tell me where the gaps are in that, because that list is enough for me now to go and do that task. You tell me what else you need by way of explanation to actually now do that task, and make some suggestions as to what might be better in terms of doing that task. And so that forms the basis for the whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like if we talk about email marketing for a second, you know, the days of sending a newsletter style email, you know, once a month or once a quarter, and then the phone's going to ring off the hook. You know, they're dead and buried. They're gone. Yeah. It just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't happen.
Well, how many? I think I get about 500 emails a day.
Yeah, like I'm like, sorry, who are you again? Yeah. You know, if you're speaking to me once every 90 days, it just doesn't work. Hmm. And then if we loop that back into the sales process side of things, we all know, and if we don't, we all do now, that 80%+ of sales are actually made, they're actually converted after the 12th touch point.
Hmm.
But yet 96% of people don't make it past initial conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, no wonder...
Yeah, they didn't buy the first time, so I moved on.
No wonder the failure rate's so high in businesses, because they're simply not following up.
Hmm.
You know, it's...
Yeah, that's great advice, yeah. Fortune is in the follow-up, somebody once said to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so tell us a little bit about the Serve 2015 then, or the idea of the Serve conferences.
Sure. So myself and Roscoe, it actually morphed from a program that we ran called 10 Grand in 10 Days. And ultimately what we found when we were working with coaches and consultants out there was most of the people that we spoke with were really lost when it came to actually creating their marketing pipeline. So, and what I mean by that is from a direct response marketing point of view.
Mm.
So things like opt-in products and tripwires and, you know, email marketing sequences and autoresponders, all of these different terminologies, which are all jargon.
Yeah.
They, you know, they didn't know what they were and didn't know how to put them in place in order to convert. And typically speaking, most coaches and consultants out there are, you know, meeting somebody at a networking event or someone's passed a referral, they go and have a coffee and then they have another coffee and then they have another coffee meeting, and then they'll do like a strategy session for free again. And then all of a sudden, so we haven't asked them to buy anything yet. And then all of a sudden from a corporate or a consultancy point of view, we're asking them to commit $30,000 to $60,000 for a year to work with them. Or in a coaching environment, they might be charging, you know, $1,000 to $1,500 a month in that regard. So what we found is from a marketing point was that there was no baby step. We're going free, and then bang. Buy something.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the time it'll just go, hi, we met, buy my stuff.
Hmm.
So we created this program from, you know, studying a lot of the great internet marketers out there and the direct response marketers like Brendan Burchard, you know, Frank Kearns, you know, Ryan Dice, and we studied a lot of the guys who were doing quite well, as well as, you know, the likes of Dan Kennedy's and you know, from a copy perspective, and you know, Rick Sheffron and you know, Mike Filsaime, and we just studied all of these amazing different platforms and marketing techniques. And what we then did, we were like, okay, well, we're crash test dummies, so we'll try this on in our business. So we went out there and we created an opt-in product. So what I mean by that is, in exchange for your name and email address, I will give you something for free that is highly valuable. So that could be, if we look at LinkedIn as an example, it could be a cheat sheet on the 10 actions you can take daily on LinkedIn to actually get you the results that you want.
Mm.
You know, so how to farm LinkedIn for leads, do these 10 things. So we would go, here's a one-page website, you know, it's got a headline, these are the reasons why you want to opt in, give me your details and then let me email that to you. And then the very next page that they would see is like, hey, you've obviously downloaded this tool.
Yeah.
So you've got an interest, something has sparked some curiosity in you. While you're here, why don't we jump on the phone together and like just have a conversation and see if we can help you. Let me give you some value And then if we're a fit, great, I'll offer you a way that we can continue to work together. So that's a tripwire. So what we did with Serve, I'm giving you the whole convoluted way right now, is essentially we help coaches and consultants to build a marketing pipeline so that they can go and serve more customers. So we actually help them in the training. They bring their laptops. We help them create the little mini web pages for them. Mm-hmm. We help them create the, you know, the email marketing sequences that go behind that. And then we show them, you know, how to go and put people into those funnels through Facebook, through LinkedIn, through speaking, networking. Ultimately, we help them build a cash register and then show them how to ring the till. Right? That's what we're doing. Yeah.
So it's the whole system, it gets to their what did we say, $16,000 product or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. So where we specifically look at from Surf 2015 is building their one-on-one customers. And this is actually an interesting point. You know, once again, we're speaking to all of these people out there, and every entrepreneur wants to go straight to the end product, which is the most leverage, which is selling products. And that's great, and we encourage that, but not in that order.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we need to, you know, our whole job as coaches and mentors, when we're working with both our group and our private mentoring clients, is to provide them with a safe environment for them to succeed. So they need to succeed safely. And we're all about consistent compounding results, like a Warren Buffett method. You know, you don't become a billionaire overnight. It's by consistent compounding results day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And from a Serve point of view, we need to have a consistent baseline of one-on-one customers that you're working with. And that might be, as an example, you may hold 8 coaching clients personally. You might only want to work with 8 people individually at any given time in your business. And once we've got a solid foundation there, that's where we'll start to introduce a group level, which will obviously maybe a little bit cheaper, or so a little bit more accessible. But you can work in a one-to-many environment. And then from that, we utilize all of this knowledge and skills and expertise that we have, and then we go and create a product. Yeah. And that might be a membership site or a specific product around, you know, LinkedIn or building marketing funnels, or whatever it might be out there that you can go and sell. So it's really getting that model right from that aspect.
Now, you've gone into a lot of detail there. That's really fascinating, and it's actually great advice. If somebody wants to take that and run with it, they've probably got enough information there to get underway. But I encourage you to have a look, and we'll post a link underneath the video, certainly, to the Serve 2015 page, and you can find out a lot more about it and maybe even register. I believe I know that the Gold Coast in June in Australia is a really nice place to be.
Beautiful.
All right. So how do you keep balanced? How do you kind of stay balanced and get that work-life balance? What do you do when you're not working?
Yeah, it's the old work-life balance myth.
Yeah.
personally, I my personal opinion is if you are inspired and you believe in what you're doing, you know, it's just go and do that. Now, in saying that, I'm separated, myself and my ex-wife. We've got a beautiful daughter together. You know, people can call me the Army Reserve Dad. You know, one weekend, you know, 2 weekends a month, and a week every other quarter. In that regard, and it's, you know, that works for me. The work-life balance thing, it's not an easy conversation to have with people. And rightly or wrongly, I don't care if you want to dedicate your entire life to working 7 days a week and doing that. That's fine. If that's what works for you, awesome. What I would recommend doing is really having a look at your values and doing a values determination process. And, you know, some great people who and this is where I learned it from, was Dr. John DeMartini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, one of his great books is how to make one hell of a profit and still go to heaven. And another one is the values factor, I believe it is, if I'm not incorrect in the pronunciation of that title of the book. And it's something that you need to actually spend some time and really have some critical thinking time around, well, what do you actually want you know, for your personal life, what do you actually want for your business life? What do you want for your family? What do you want from a wealth point of view, a health point of view, a spiritual point of view? And then really deciding what's important for you in that aspect. And as an example, Jürgen, just over the weekend, I had my mental health day on Sunday. And what that meant was myself and my partner, Natalie, she did her own thing and I did my own thing. And I spent that time just working on my personal goals for the next 5 years and personally what I wanted to go and achieve. And the three things that it came away from for me personally was, you know, wealth creation, so savings. The second one was, where do I want to travel each year? And the third one was on how many times a week am I going to be speaking? And that inspires me from that regard. So it's one of those things that it's so, you know, it's such an individual decision. And it goes back to, I want to earn 250 grand working 20 hours a week scenario. For most people, they say that. What they actually want, they don't actually know. And I believe that's why they say that, because they haven't actually invested the time or haven't allowed themselves to just consider what's possible and what's really inspiring for them.
Yeah, good question is, what are you going to do with the rest of the time? Because 20 hours isn't all that much in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, and I'll share this with you. I remember when I was in the recruitment business, I was, you know, lucky enough to work in a global recruitment role with Drake International. And, you know, you guys can check them out. They're one of the largest recruitment companies in the world. And I was so grateful and lucky enough to report directly through to Bill Pollack, who's the founder and owner of Drake. And, you know, this is a guy now who's 80-odd. And, you know, I haven't spoken to him for about 18 months now. But when we used to work together, like, he would work 7 days a week and he'd work 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. every day. And it was his life's mission. And it wasn't about, oh, I need to make billions and billions of dollars. It was like, no, we've got a real gift and we've got a, you know, we've got this whole focus and this whole service to humanity to ensure that the right people are in the right jobs to help not only them build, you know, and grow as an individual, but to help the organizations get what they need and the consumers. And I remember when I resigned, Bill rang me up, and this just goes to show what an amazing leader and gentleman this guy is. Bill rang me up personally and said, John, I've just received your letter of resignation via email and I'm not accepting it yet. My assistant's booked you a flight. You'll get that data in the next 30 minutes, but you're coming down to Melbourne tomorrow and you're spending the Easter weekend with me, and I want you to sit down with me and tell me how we can improve our company and what's wrong with it. And I was just, you know, blown away. And this is, talk about work-life balance, like this, it was perfect for him. It was a synergy. And, you know, so I really, I know I'm drawing around this question here for you, Jürgen, but I feel that there isn't a simple answer to work-life balance. I feel it's the, you know, it's the holy grail that everybody's after, but no one can actually articulate what it is. And the reason no one can articulate what it actually is because there's 7 billion plus people on the planet, and our individual minds and ideals of what an ideal work-life balance is are probably all completely different.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just thinking, you know, that it is a very personal thing, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating for me to hear what other people do, you know, outside of work, because I mean, you know, learning about you playing bagpipes, for instance,
it's been some time now.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, I don't think I know anybody else who plays bagpipes, so that's fascinating. But my business coach, again, you know, she sort of starts all businesses and says, well, what, all entrepreneurs, and says, what does your ideal day look like?
Yeah.
And basically says, you know, well, what do you want to spend your day doing? And then everything kind of cascades down from that. So, you know, the whole business philosophy and values, your personal values integrating with business philosophies, everything sort of comes back. And the check is always, is that going to give me my ideal day? So,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, like chill out time, if you like, or rejuvenating time is, you know, going for a walk on the beach. Lucky enough that, you know, we live across the road from the beach, which is great. Going for a run, or just, you know, just going to the movies. And, you know, we went and watched The Avengers the other night, which was a great movie. And, but other than that,
bit of an escape from reality.
You know, if I'm not on stage speaking to an audience, or having like conversations, like great conversations like this with yourself, Jürgen, or, you know, coaching our clients, I want to be, you know, spending time on my personal vision and really, you know, dreaming up large and imagining what's possible from my own personal perspective and the business perspective. And, you know, other than that, spending time with, you know, my beautiful daughter, Hannah, and my partner. So it's just, it's such an each to their own thing. But, and don't get me wrong, it's imperative. Like, people, you know, it's one of those things that they must go and invest the time in actually uncovering what it actually is that they want.
That's right. It comes back a little bit to what you were talking about earlier about, you know, don't do things that other people are pushing you into just because that's their expectation. You know, be sure about what you want yourself.
Yeah, it's the whole grass is greener. Let's do that. I've done that. It doesn't work. You lose the money.
The grass is greener bit reminds me, you'll know of Tom O'Toole, the founder of the Bibby's Bakery, who, he does all these fascinating speeches and that. He's a great speaker. And one of the things he says, you know, a lot of people think the grass is greener on the other side, but that's often where the sewage comes out.
Gary Vaynerchuk, he had his video on. I'm not sure if you've seen this the last week. And he was saying, you know, for every one Instagram, there's, you know, 5,000 Insta shits that are out there.
So yeah, same sort of message, yeah.
Pick your mark.
All right, well, that's great, John. Now let's move on to our the buzz, as I call it, which is our innovation round. So it's a series of six questions that, you know, we're looking for kind of a quick answer, and hopefully it'll be something that inspires our audience and helps them on their journey to, you know, finding their vision or work-life balance or whatever. So the first one is, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
They really need to get crystallized on what their actual vision is first.
Because
until they're clear on what they actually want their business and their life to look like, we're just going to, you know, what are we actually innovating?
That's right. Yeah, it gets confused for doesn't know what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great advice. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Actually allocated time. So actually allocated in my diary critical thinking time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and literally just sat there with a, you know, a notepad and pen and looked at, from a client experience point of view, who am I trying to attract? Really getting myself into my client's shoes and into my future customer's shoes, and then deciding based on that where to go. So as an example, from a platform like Infusionsoft, I leverage my time.
We're getting a bit of a break up there. Hopefully, there you go. Looks like you're back.
Yep.
So it kind of stopped there when you were talking about Infusionsoft.
Yeah. So Infusionsoft is a platform that, you know, I use. Like, it's an amazing platform, but we use that from an innovation point of view, as far as how can we, you know, get our message to different mediums. How can we track? How can we really look at the data behind that and perfect our message and our reach?
Yeah. So take time to understand what customers need, and then sort of plan around that and see what else you can bring to serve them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So what? This might be, you might have already answered this. So, do you have a favorite tool or system for doing innovation or improving your leverage around innovation?
Yeah, absolutely. So Infusionsoft personally is an amazing tool. I'll give you top three. Infusionsoft, Gliffy is another great little platform where you can draw out some maps and all of those types of things in there. And lead pages, like just your instant pages platforms, particularly with what we do, they're amazing.
Yeah, okay. And we'll have links to all of those tools underneath the video as well, so people can go and check them out. So I did look at Gliffy a while back. I'm not sure I didn't sort of take to it. I don't know why now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I know it's one of the good ones. I do a lot of mind mapping, so maybe it was too close to that, and I decided it wasn't any different to mind mapping tools that I had.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what do you think is the best way to keep a client or a project on track?
Bill in monthly recurring in advance. And so that's because you're not having to constantly resell. That's the number one mistake most coaches and consultants make, is they bill hourly opposed to monthly in advance. And secondly, actually have a project meeting and agree to milestones throughout the project, so you don't have scope creep coming through.
That's great advice. And what do you think is the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Actually, like this one, it's actually spending the time and investing the time in getting really clear on who they are as an individual, who they actually want to serve, and really getting just laser focused on that niche that they're going to be servicing. Yeah. If they just did that, if all they did was just invest the time and got clear on that, they would differentiate themselves massively in the market.
Yeah, that's great advice. I heard someone say this morning, I was listening to a podcast in the car, and you know, they said, oh, you can differentiate yourself just by being yourself, because you know, there's so many others of coaches or whatever around, but there's nobody like you. And if there's a match personal, well then, you know, you're different, clearly. So that's great advice. So what's the future then for you and for your business there?
Sure. So our aim is to build and grow down the commercial real estate route, and the whole aim there is to provide co-educational centres where we can obviously deliver our training and create those heart-centered communities where people can come together and build and grow their business and build and, you know, have that impact on humanity that they'd like to have. And it's like, it's, you know, we're end game for us is 50 centres throughout the world for that right now. That's our aim over our lifetime, myself and Roscoe. And ultimate vision is, you know, to essentially have one of our centres on the moon. You know, that's like, and we're dead serious about that. You know, we actually want to have a center on the moon where people can actually look back on Earth and get perspective of where they are.
I don't think
that, you know, that might go up there with my head in a bucket with fluid in it or something like that, but that happens. But you know, that's a driving force behind what we do. If that's 5,000 years from now, but it actually happens, well, so be it.
Yeah. Well, they are shortlisting candidates for the first human mission or human settlement on Mars. So I don't know if you've put your name in for that. It is a one-way mission, though, apparently. All right. So let's get on to our competition then today. So as I mentioned earlier, John has very kindly offered a personal consultation with him on Skype to help you address some of the things we've been talking about today. So getting really clear on your vision and looking at what roadblocks might be in place and helping you put some plans into place. So do you want to describe that some more and then let the audience know what you want them to do, what you want them to comment on underneath the video to be in the draw for that prize?
So for me, like this is really about you. It's got nothing to do with me in this regard. And ultimately where I feel we can be of best service to you as a starting point, and then, you know, decide if we want to continue working together is ultimately help you get clear on what it is that you actually want your business and your lifestyle to be. And once we're there from there, you know, what's it actually look like right now? And moving into the next aspects of the challenges and roadblocks that you're facing, and then finally the key takeaways from that aspect. So that hour that we'd spend together, it'd be really, really focused on giving you clarity around what it is that you want for your business, where are you at right now, the challenges and roadblocks that you'll be seeing, and then finally, you know, the key takeaways and implementable actions from that. So it would be a fit, you know, for those of you who are absolutely dedicated and focused on really leveraging your message and leaving that legacy and in a heartfelt way. So, you know, doing greater good for humanity. It wouldn't be a fit for somebody who, you know, ultimately just wants to go and rape and pillage the earth, or, you know, I just want to go and make money. Yeah. You know, we want you to, that you've got to come from your heart space in that regard. So from a competition point of view, what I would love to hear, Jürgen, is, you know, of all the forces and things going on out there right now in the world, you know, which of them for you actually breaks your heart? So I'd love for them to comment, you know, of all the forces and things going on out there in the world, which of them breaks your heart? And secondly, what is it that you want to do about it?
Yeah. Okay. That's a really good challenge, John. I'm fascinated by that one.
I've got to make them earn the strategy.
Yeah, exactly. It's an awesome prize. It's an awesome prize. I'll be fascinated to see what comments we get back and what contributions we get. So put your comments underneath the video. Tell us, tell John what things are happening out there in the world today that absolutely break your heart, and also what you want to do about it. And I'll get John to come back in a couple of weeks' time and take a look at the contributions and pick out the winner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's been great. John, thanks. And finally, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give anyone that wants to be a leader in their field, particularly in the area of innovation, or, you know, stand out by being innovative in their particular area?
Great question. So I feel that it's a couple of things. They would need to get absolutely massively clarity around what it is that they actually want to achieve first. So it'd be, you know, that one thing. What is that one change that you want to go and innovate or have an impact on? Secondly, I'd really get clear on what your key strengths are in that. So as an example, Wealth Dynamics, Talent Dynamics, I'm a creator, so I'm great at creating things, but, you know, I need a team behind me. Yeah. So getting clear on what your skill set, what you personally can bring to the table. And then thirdly is, who do you need on your team supporting you in order to make that vision a reality, make that mission a reality in that regard?
Okay, so 3 points. That's really good advice there, yeah. So thanks a lot, John. It's been fascinating interview today. It's been, you're coming from the part. You can feel that and see that in you know, this interview. And it's been a pleasure to have you here. So where can people reach out to say thank you for all that you've shared with us today?
Yeah, absolutely. So from today, if they want to go to HCMM, so Heart-Centered Moneymakers, so HCMM.today.
Dot today, okay.
Dot today, yeah.
Why did you choose the dot today domain?
Yeah, sure. So that's our news portal. It's our platform where we're consistently adding blogs and content and all of those types of things. It's our news hub, if you
all
like.
All right, yeah.
So HCMM.today.
Okay, and we'll have that link underneath the video as well, so people can just click on it and link straight through.
Fantastic.
All right. And finally, who else would you like to see me interview on the podcast and why?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'd be rude of me not to recommend Roscoe Patterson, who's my partner, Jürgen.
Yeah.
And the reason, there's a couple of reasons why I say that. A, you know, we are a great company and we do absolutely care about, you know, the impact that we're having on the world. And more importantly than that, is that Roscoe is an absolute genius, and where I feel he may be able to help, and where it comes from the innovation point of view as well, is really helping your listeners to heal their relationship with money. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because, you know, innovation and building great things and, you know, making bigger requests not only of yourself but of the people around you in the world and of your customers and your clients, a lot of it has a lot to do with your belief in your self-worth, and being able to heal your personal relationship around wealth and money. once you're able to do that, you will look at your entire business. You'll look at the way that you could go and grow and innovate and reach and connect with more and more people every day, so much differently. And as a result, you'll have such a far greater reach and impact on those people that you want to serve. So I'd highly recommend, you know, speaking to my business partner, Roscoe Patterson.
Okay, well, that's great. So Roscoe, look out, I'm coming to get you, courtesy of John Roscoe. Bellamy. Yeah. All right, well, John, it's been wonderful to have you on the podcast. I really appreciate all that you've shared with us and you taking the time to talk to us. And I look forward to staying in touch and also to learning more about the business when I speak to Roscoe as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jürgen. It's been an absolute pleasure. And, you know, for those of you listening, you know, like, podcasts are the way of the future. So definitely listen to Jürgen's podcast and keep in contact.
Thanks, John. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm still buzzing from that interview. John is really a million miles an hour. He definitely is coming from that entrepreneur with a heart mindset and looking to make an impact and leave a legacy. And what a wonderful prize we have today, a 1-hour Skype session with John himself to help get clear about your vision, your goals, and remove any roadblocks that you might have in your way. I certainly hope you enjoyed meeting John as much as I enjoyed interviewing him. Now, all the show notes and other information from this episode are going to be at innovabiz.com.au/John Bellamy. That is JohnBellamy, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/John Bellamy. So everything that we spoke about in today's episode is going to be listed there and linked. And there certainly are a lot of resources for you to look at, and you can even sign up for the Serve 2015 conference that John spoke about. Now, remember, leave your comments underneath the video for your chance to win that Skype conversation with John, which, again, as I said, is an awesome prize. So leave your comments and tell John what are the things that are happening out there in the world that absolutely break your heart, and what do you want to do about it? I'll get John to come by in a couple of weeks' time and take a look at the contributions and then pick the winner. John suggested I interview his business partner, Roscoe Patterson. So that's Roscoe at Heart-Centered Moneymakers. So Roscoe, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from me to join us on the InnovaBuzz podcast. We'd really like to have you on board. And if John is any indication, that's going to be another session at a million miles an hour. We're really looking forward to that one. To my wonderful audience, thank you for listening or viewing the InnovaBuzz podcast. We really appreciate having you here, and we hope that we're making a difference to your life. We'd love you to post reviews for us, because reviews help us get found and your feedback helps us to improve. So you can review us over on iTunes or on Stitcher, and while you're there, please subscribe so that you'll never miss a future episode. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss. Remember, if you don't innovate, you'll stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.